So we're making our way through the Psalms in this kind of, we're trusting it to be an experiential sort of way, not just a head knowledge, but really praying the Psalms together. And our overriding theme is this idea of God's love that never ends, which we read about earlier. And so we say, we trust in your unfailing love. And we've made four statements just to kind of undergird the whole study series. And the first one is this, it's that God has spoken to us. God has spoken to us. And we answer him using the Psalms. That's the beautiful truth of the Bible, is that our God is a God who speaks. And he speaks to us. And the Psalms, if you can go to the next slide, please, that's great. Yeah, God has spoken to us and we answer him using the Psalms. So the Psalms give us language. They give us language to use in our conversation with God, this conversation that God invites us to. The second statement, which really is about life itself, is that the sun rises each day and brings new things into our lives, some good and some bad. And the sun rose several times this week and brought some bad things to our world, didn't it? Some very difficult things to our world. And perhaps in your life experience, as the sun rose on some of these days this week, perhaps some bad things came into your life, some painful things, some difficult news, some struggles. Or on the other side, maybe it's good things, and good things come into our lives, and God gives us blessings, and God gives us good things to enjoy. And so we have these both sides. We have the good, we have the bad, we have the painful, we have the joy-filled. But each day brings something new to our lives. And what the Psalms are this honest reflection on all kinds of circumstances of life, both positive and negative. And so they really help us to speak to God no matter what's going on in our life. And then the fourth statement is this, in every circumstance, we seek to remind ourselves of his unfailing love. It seems to me this is what the Psalms are trying to do for us, to remind us that no matter what's going on in life, no matter how good it is, or no matter how hard it is, that God's love remains the same. His love endures forever, right? That's what we said. And so that's what we seek to remind ourselves. And so we've used this phrase that we trust in God's unfailing love, no matter what the circumstances of life may be. I have a question for you on the next picture here. Is this a sunrise or a sunset? I suppose it could be either, right? How many of you remember being there on that day? This is Easter sunrise service, but not from this last year, but from 2015. If you don't know, we have a practice at our church of having an Easter sunrise service. Last Easter, we took 200 of us up the mountain to watch the sunrise. This was 2015. If you go to the next slide, yeah, there it comes. And one more. Here it comes. The sun actually rises. We've had this habit at the International Church to do that on Easter. Why? Because there's something special about welcoming the sunrise and celebrating the resurrection of Jesus on the same day. There's something very powerful about that combination, and that's why we do it. But Psalms 4 and 5 that we're looking at this morning, what they remind us of is that actually the sun rises every morning. The sun rises every morning. And what I want to suggest to you, that Psalm 4 and 5 talk to us about a rhythm of life. They talk to us about the rhythm of life. I want to suggest it's the rhythm of life with God. Evening and morning. If we think back to Genesis chapter 1 in the language of creation, how does the language of creation go? God did this and this and this, and it was evening, and then there was morning in the first day, right? And then there was evening, and there was morning in the second day, right? Woven right into the story of creation is this idea of the rhythm of life. There's evening, there's night, there's morning, there's day, right? So it's this rhythm of life. And Psalms 4 and 5 call us to pay attention to the rhythm of life. I don't know about you, but I have found it easy in various stages of my life to kind of float through life, to kind of just let life happen to me, just really not really pay attention to what's going on. And so if life is difficult, my whole day is full of anxiety and thoughts, and I go to bed with anxious thoughts, and I don't sleep very well, and I wake up with anxious thoughts, and the cycle just continues. Or maybe it's when things are good, and things are going along very well, and things are going on, and I'm enjoying life, and I'm having fun, and I go to bed, and I get up, and I get up, have fun again. And it's just like life just goes on. Psalm 4 and 5 calls us, urges us, really pushes us to pay attention to the rhythm of life with God. And so it gives us language for speaking with God in the evening. It gives us language for speaking with God in the morning. And these two psalms together are a beautiful picture for us of what it looks like to really be attentive to God, the God who is our Creator, the God who is our Savior, the God who is our Lord, in the rhythm of life, so that we're paying attention every day to who He is in our lives. And Psalm 4 and 5 will give us some language to be attentive to God in the evening, in the morning, in the evening, in the morning. They're beautiful, beautiful psalms. I hope that we can capture them. I would like us to read them through, so I'll read the blue script, and you can read the red letters as we go through. This is Psalm number 4, which is the evening prayer. Evening prayer comes first, the morning prayer comes second. In the story of Genesis, it's recorded as the evening and the morning. I wonder why that is. I don't have a full answer to that, but I wonder if it's like this. In the evening is the end of the day. What is nighttime for? Nighttime for is sleep. What is sleep for? It's refreshing, rest, refreshing our bodies, right? So there's evening, and we have this rest, and then we wake up and are ready for the new day. So this is the kind of language, the kind of rhythm that these psalms give us language for. So let me read the blue. This is the title of the psalm. It's for the director of music with stringed instruments, and it's a psalm of David. And so we say together, answer me. Okay, wait, I think we should do that once more, because it doesn't sound like you mean what you say there. Say it with feeling this time, all right? This is a call out to God. Hear me, God, okay? Let's do it once more. Answer me when I call. Prayer. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Tremble, do not sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Let's say together, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And so as we seek to experience these words, let me urge you to pay attention to the words. Let them sink into your soul. Let them sink into your heart as we go through. And what I want us to notice is the beauty in the way in which this psalm has been crafted and created. It really is a work of art. And so we have an urgent call at the beginning, and we have a very quiet conclusion at the end. It's an urgent call. Answer me when I call to you, God. Give me relief from my distress. And so we imagine someone at the end of a stressful day, and he's getting ready to go to sleep, and he's focusing his thoughts on God. He's saying, God, this has been a horrible day. So give me relief from my distress. But by the time he comes to verse 8, he's come to this quiet conclusion. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. How does the psalmist get from this cry at the beginning of the psalm to the peaceful conclusion at the end? He does it with, there's two sets of contrasts. What we find is two sets of contrasts, one in verse 2, 3, and then in verse 6, 7. And then right in the middle of the psalm, in verses 4 and 5, we find three pairs of verbs, three action words that we want to look at. Let's look at the contrasts first. First set of contrasts, as the psalmist is reflecting and he's looking at life, he's He's observing that there are those who pursue false gods and that there are those who rely only on God. We've reminded ourselves that wisdom literature in the Bible always lays out before us two paths. There's the way of wisdom and the way of foolishness. There's the way of those who trust in God. There's the way of those who trust in false gods or trust in themselves or trust in some other force or power or riches or wisdom or pleasure. Right? So there's always two ways. And so there's a contrast here between those who pursue false gods. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? The psalmist is perhaps putting himself in the place of God, imagining the language of God here, imagining how God feels as people are turning away from him, turning his glory into shame. How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? And this is contrasted in verse 3 with those who rely on God. Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. The psalmist has great confidence that God, when he turns to God in the evening, calls for answer to this distress, rescue, help, refuge, all those kind of language, he has confidence that God hears and answers. And so he's giving this contrast here. The second set of contrasts comes down in verses 6 and 7. There are those who are always hungry for more. So many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Have you ever heard that? It's an attitude, isn't it? It's an attitude all over the world. How can I get more stuff? How can I get more to be more secure so I don't have to worry about my retirement? How can I get more? There's an attitude in the world. And the psalmist contrasts that with those who find satisfaction in God's provision. Let the light of your face shine on us. And notice carefully the words of verse 7. Fill my heart with joy when whose grain and new wine abound. When their grain and new wine abound. Do you get the contrast between these two attitudes here? The one attitude is all about me and worrying about me, worrying about what I can get. The second attitude really is about being full of joy when others prosper. It's completely opposite attitudes. And so we imagine the psalmist as he's finishing the end of his day, and he's just imagining these two different pathways of life, people on these two different pathways of life. And then we come to these three pairs of verbs in verses 4 and 5. They're remarkable pairs of words, and particularly I want us to think about these words as we think about coming to the end of today, for example. What does he say? The first pair of verbs, tremble and do not sin. Those two is the first pair. Some of you perhaps have some other translations of the Bible. What's another word that's used for tremble? Be angry, right? So in the ESV and another number of English translations of the Bible, it says, be angry, but don't sin. So what is the psalmist trying to get at here? It seems to me that this word tremble it incorporates anger, because sometimes we tremble when we're angry, right? Sometimes we tremble when we're afraid. Sometimes we tremble when we're full of anxiety about something. And it seems to me what the psalmist is saying to us is, as you come to the end of your day and as you look back on what you experienced in this last 24 hours, be honest about it. Be honest about it. You don't have to hide the anxiety, the fear, the anger that's in your heart. Express it. It's an emotion. It's there. It's real. So be angry. Be anxious. Express that anxiety of your heart. He's giving us permission to be who we really are, not to hide, not to stuff our emotions, but to feel them, to express them. But he says, be angry, but do not sin. What does that mean? It seems to me, as I've done a little bit of reading, as I'm trying to process what this means, it seems to me that the psalmists are giving us permission to be honest about what we feel, but they're not giving us permission to go and take revenge on our enemies. They're not giving us permission to go out and beat somebody up. So be angry, be honest, be real about what's going on in your life, but don't sin. It's the first set of words, the first pair of verbs here. As we reflect at the end of this week, I want to suggest to you there's some things we should be angry about. We should be angry at the injustice in our world. We should be angry that some 84 people lost their lives because some guy, for some unknown reason, drove a truck through the middle of a celebration in Nice, France. Families, children lost their lives because of this senseless act. We should be angry about this. There's so many other things that go on in our lives that should affect us deeply emotionally. When we hear of people being abused by other people, powerful people taking advantage of weaker people, we should be angry at that because God is angry at that. The Message version of the Bible, Eugene Peterson translates this verse this way: complain if you must, but don't lash out, is what he says. So complain as you look back over your day and you feel like you've been unjustly treated. Peterson suggests complain. Complain away. Tell God about it. Be honest, but don't lash out at those people. Tremble. Be angry, but don't sin. The next phrase says this: when you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Search your hearts and be silent. You could go one more slide there. I think those words will come up. There you go. Search your hearts. Be silent. What does that mean, to search your hearts? Let me read to you. I do want to say that I'm gaining a lot from this little book, Answering God, by Eugene Peterson, as I've been reading this and reflecting on these psalms. But he's talking about this psalm, and he translates this phrase, search your hearts, in this way. He says, commune with your own hearts on your bed. Commune. Commune with your own hearts on your bed. Listen to what he says. Speak to yourself. Listen to yourself. In the crossfire of daytime voices, we become strangers to ourselves. Get acquainted again with the being that God created. Get acquainted with who you are. Reflect on who you are. Receive who you are. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Don't try to become somebody you're not. Be who God made you to be. And be silent. Nothing more need be said. No explanations, no boasts, no apologies. This is who you are. There is something more important than liking or not liking yourself. Something more significant than the day's accomplishments or failures. There is you. You who are made in the image of God. In the silence, simply be the person that God is gathering into salvation. In the silence, simply be the person that God is gathering into salvation. It's a beautiful reminder. We need to receive who we are, who God has made us to be. So pay attention to your hearts. As you come to the end of your day, look back on your day. Reflect on your day. Search your hearts and be still and know that I am God. Be silent. Pay attention to who God is. Third set of phrases, third pair of verbs: offer the sacrifices of the righteous. The second verb is to trust. So offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. What does it mean to offer the sacrifices of the righteous? Another translation says, offer right sacrifices. How do we now in this New Testament era offer sacrifices to God? Well, David said to us in Psalm 51, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And so I want to suggest to you that as we think about the end of our day, we think about offering our lives as a sacrifice to God. Sacrifice is something we put on the altar, right? We put it on the altar. We're giving it to God. And so we offer our lives, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And so we come to this quiet conclusion. The psalmist comes to this conclusion after he's said these words in peace. I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. If you go to the next slide, you can see all of the words on this psalm together. Just take a moment to look at them. What is God saying to you from this psalm? What are the words that stand out to you? Maybe you want to write them down. Maybe you want to take note of them. Maybe you want to respond. Just take a moment in silence to reflect as you look at the words to Psalm 4. And so we sleep. We sleep, and this is the beautiful design of the creation of God, and as we sleep, our bodies are restored. Our bodies are restored for a new day. And we come to Psalm 5, which is a morning prayer. And I'd like us to read this together as well. So once again, you will read the red letters, and I'll read the blue. The title of Psalm 5 is this, "For the Director of Music for Pipes." The Psalm of David, we're reminded of stringed instruments and pipes, that the Psalms were written really for musical celebration, for singing together. And so we need to remind ourselves of this. And some of the songs we're singing during this season, is some of them come from the Psalms. It's interesting that the pipes come in the morning. I'm not sure if I'm so happy about that, but it depends what kind of pipes, I guess, they are. But for the Director of Music for Pipes, a Psalm of David. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Let's say these words together. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. For you, the arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down toward your holy temple. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they tell lies. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So once again, we observe beauty in this psalm and the way in which it's structured. Every morning, we're invited to wake up with the realization that God is listening to us. In some ways, this psalm, the morning psalm, sounds very similar to this. The start of the morning one sounds very similar to the start of the evening one. It's a cry. Listen to my words. There's four phrases here. Listen to my word. Consider my lament. What's a lament? Lament is like a complaint, right? It's saying all the things that are going wrong, my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. What's the assumption behind all of these phrases? The assumption behind all of these phrases is that we're calling out to a God who listens, a God who really does hear us. And this is the underlying truth, really, of all of the Psalms. As we receive this language, it's about speaking to a God who hears. Last week in verse 4 of Psalm 3, we saw, I call out to God and he answers me from his holy mountain. I want to suggest to you as we look through this psalm that Psalm 5 trains us to discern evil from good. So here we are, we're looking at the day that's ahead of us. We've had a night's sleep, now we're looking at the day that's ahead of us. We have some choices to make as we go into this day, right? We can choose to do evil, we can choose to do good. And the psalmist is really trying to lay out the possibility for us to discern evil from good by means of these contrasting images that he paints. And so contrast number one, what we find is that there's a possibility for us to do evil. There's also a possibility for us to be obedient. And so he's laying out before us these choices. He's describing the language of what it looks like for people who choose evil. And in this first three verses, what we discover, what he reminds us of, is God's attitude toward evil. God hates evil. God is a holy God. You are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. And so we're reminding ourselves of the holiness of God. As we start our day, we're saying, God, there's some choices that we can make as we look through our day. Here's the description of those who conduct evil actions and God's response to them. The second part of this contrast is in verses 7 to 8, where he describes what it looks like to be obedient. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down towards your holy temple. Lead me in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. And so there's this idea as we start our day of choosing to lay ourselves down in his righteousness, choosing to follow God instead of choosing to follow evil. The second set of contrasts comes between verses 9 and 10 and verses 11 and 12. In verses 9 and 10, we have the possibility to be liars or deceivers, and we have language that describes how we use our words in evil ways. And what this reminds us of is that each day as we get up, we have a choice about the words that we will say. We saw even back when we were studying the prophet Hosea, how important words are. God invites us to bring words into his presence. Along with being silent, he invites us also to bring words. He invites us to pay attention to the words that we use. And here is a description of words that are used for lying and deceiving. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they tell lies. And so as we begin our day, we reflect on the ways in which we will use our words today. We reflect on that. There's a possibility that we may also fall into the trap of speaking words that are not true, of speaking words of deception. The contrast is in verses 11 and 12. Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. The contrast is these people are using words for singing, words for loving. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous and you surround them with favor as with a shield. This reminds us of last week's psalm, this idea of God being our shield, our hiding place, our place of refuge. And so we have choices. Each day as we wake up, we have choices. And the psalmist is urging us intentionally as we wake up each morning to say, God, I want to give you this day. I want to give you my words for today. But the verse which really is the center point of this whole psalm, it's not in the physical center of the psalm, but it really is verse 3. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. So this is language that the psalmist gives us to speak in the morning. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you. Let me give you also the English Standard Translation of this verse, because this idea of laying my request before you is really stronger, I think, than what the NIV gives credit for. It says, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice in the morning. I prepare a sacrifice, right? So we saw previously in Psalm 4 about this idea of laying our lives as a sacrifice before God. Here we are in the morning again. We're offering a sacrifice. We're giving our lives as a sacrifice to God. And watch what you will do. In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you, and watch. So there's this sense of waking up each morning and coming into the presence of God and saying, God, here I am. I have this day ahead of me. I want to give my life to you today as a sacrifice so that you can use it for whatever you choose. I'd like also the Message translation here, which you can see every morning. You'll hear me at it again. And Peterson puts in this idea of every morning. I think that's good for us to hear. Every morning, you'll hear me at it again. Every morning, I lay out the pieces of my life on your altar. I love that picture. Every morning, I lay out the pieces of my life on your altar, and I wait for fire to descend. What's that mean? I wait for fire to descend. The fire consumes that which is evil. The fire consumes the dross and the stuff that's not good. But the gold and the silver and the precious stones, those things in our lives are purified by fire. And so we have this picture then of in the morning, waking up, being attentive to God, and intentionally taking our lives, taking the hours that will come ahead of us and laying them on the altar and saying, God, you please have your way in every part of this day. This is the rhythm of life. So we have some questions to ask of ourselves. Do we hear God each morning? Do we pay attention to God in the evening? What about the rhythm of your life? What about the rhythm of your life right now? Is there a sense that you have of taking time in the evening to say, Lord, thank you for what you've done for me this day? Of searching your heart and being silent before God. And then lying down to sleep, knowing that it's only God who provides safety, even in the midst of all kinds of strife and struggle. And then in the morning, waking up, but not waking up to just get going on the day, but waking up to reflect and say, God, here I am. I'm here. I'm looking forward to this day, but let me walk this day with you. Let me lay the pieces of my life on your altar, and would you use me for your glory in this day? In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you. I lay my life down as a sacrifice before you, and I wait expectantly for what you will do. It's my prayer that as I know I've received a challenge from these Psalms, just about the rhythm of life. It's so easy to forget, to not pay attention to God in the evening, the morning, but it's so healthy, it's so good. And God invites us to this relationship. And so I pray that these words may be of some encouragement, some challenge perhaps, in the rhythm of your life. Father, we do offer ourselves to you. We admit that it's so easy for us to be full of ourselves. We admit that it's so easy for us to forget that you are our creator. We forget that we rely on you for every breath that we take. And so, Father, would you speak to us through these Psalms? Would you remind us of the habits of our lives? And would we be more intentional about just really paying attention to you each day, walking with you each moment of each day? Thank you for your amazing love, your unfailing love, your love that endures forever. We praise you. We thank you. Help us to live in the reality of that love. Help us to live in that safe place with you as our hiding place. We give you this week, Lord. Would you do your work in our lives? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.